Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we saw him fighting for our governors against Obamacare. Then he represented the Republicans as far as redistricting. Now a state senator, and now he wants to run for lieutenant governor. State Senator Mark Hutchison joins us today. And on the Power Pundit panel, we have Larry Mathias and Ty Cobb. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Mark Hutchison, whose law firm is one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
It's great to have you on the to be back on the show. Thanks, Sam.
You're very welcome. All right, so we first found out about you when you were representing the state, going against Obamacare with two governors. Then you represented the Republican Party in redistricting. Then you became a state senator, and now you're announcing for lieutenant governor. What prompted you to want to run for lieutenant governor?
Well, I think the first thing is that one of the great public servants in Nevada will no longer have an opportunity to be in this position, which is Brian Krolecki, our current lieutenant governor, as you know, has been termed out and will not be able to run again and occupy the position after 2014. And so it presented an opportunity for me to take a careful look and evaluate that position. And I thought that I would be a good fit, be a good opportunity for me to use my skills and my abilities, my experience, I hope, to continue to serve my fellow Nevadans.
And of course, you're not up in your state Senate seat, so either way, you would still be representing us in one way or another. Were you invited to look at this position by people like, say, Greg Ferraro or Pete Urnot, who have been the governor's close advisors?
Well, what I did do is I spoke to the governor before I was going to get into the race and took his temperature, talked with him about it. He was encouraging, and I was very happy to see, as you did, Sam, after I announced that the governor endorsed me and supported me. So the person who I spoke with about the position and what he thought about the position was the governor himself.
And what did the governor lay out for you? Because in a way, he took back a lot of the portfolio of the lieutenant governor that he'd had over the years, certainly in economic development, and brought it back in under his own thumb there. Did he offer you any expansion of the lieutenant governor's duties?
Well, what he said was the very first thing that he needs and would expect in lieutenant governor is a good partner with him to continue his pro-growth, pro-education policies that we've seen throughout the last couple of years and that have been successful in this state. And he asked if I would, you know, join him in that effort and if I thought that I could support him in those efforts, because he said the first thing he needs is a good partner. And I assured him that I could. I supported him in the state legislature. I was proud to support much of the legislation and the goals that he had laid out for Nevadans when I was a state senator. So that was an easy answer for me. Of course, I would support his goals and want to be part of his team.
Was there any discussion of the 2016 election cycle and the potential for Governor Sandoval to run against Harry Reid, which has obviously been talked about many times in many places?
Yes, and I've been asked that question almost from the beginning when I announced, and I can tell you, Sam, that when the governor and I spoke and in subsequent discussions, we've never had a discussion where, you know, he has said anything other than he's going to run hard in 2014, wants to get reelected, and has not mentioned to me any plans or anything about 2016. And so he and I both are focused on 2014. Now, of course, you know, that subject surfaces because people like you and others have brought up the issue. But in my discussions directly with the governor, certainly when we were talking about my making a run for this position, we didn't talk at all about 2016.
Now, I know you quite well, I think, and you're a very inquisitive fellow. At some point, are you going to ask him that, whether in public or private?
Oh, I think that if it ever comes to a point where I'm given the privilege to serve as lieutenant governor, that Brian Sandoval would let me know what his future plans were. I don't know that I would necessarily initiate that discussion with him, but I think that the governor, as far as I know, is focused on 2014. But I assume that if there's some major change, that I would learn about that at some point in the future if I had the opportunity to have this position, Sam. But right now, what I want to do is focus on getting through a primary and then getting through a general election and having the opportunity to serve Nevadans in this very important position.
Well, now, Lieutenant, I would agree with you. In this particular instance, it's a very important position. If the plan follows what we all suspect, but this has never been a big money race before for a lieutenant governor. Are you anticipating that you're going to have to raise up a lot of funds? Because, as you say, you're likely to have a primary and definitely a general. So, what are your thoughts on how much money it's going to take to run a successful campaign for lieutenant governor? Because, as I know you, you don't do anything by half measures.
You're right, Sam. I'll raise the money that it takes to win this race. I think it's going to take a lot of money to win this race because it's a statewide race. There's a lot of interest in the race. But I think that you're right. Typically, in the past, we haven't seen as much interest in this position. And for a variety of reasons that have been discussed at great length, there's a lot of interest in this position. And I do think, though, that just the position itself is worthy of a lot more consideration and a lot more respect than maybe others give it. I think that it's an important position where you're close to the governor. You're a trusted advisor and a confidant of his. You're somebody who is the president of the state Senate. You're involved extensively in the economic and redevelopment activities within the state. You chair the Commission on Tourism. And so these are important areas that really deserve some careful attention. So I'm a little disheartened when I hear some people say that this isn't very important, because I view the position as just very, very important. You got to be in a great position to help the governor execute his goals and his agenda.
Let's go back to the money thing. Now, you know, in the past we saw Governor Gwynn, for example, when he was running, he made it very known that he had raised $3 million, and that scared off a lot of other folks, that they wouldn't be able to match that kind of money. Governor Sandoval has been very busy over his term so far, raising money for his re-election. So do you think that this is going to take $1 million? Do you think it's going to take a couple of $1 million? What kind of number are you floating around in your head at this point, and are you prepared to put money into that pot yourself?
Well, I think, you know, Sam, if I were to estimate, well, let me just tell you what I can go is, and what I can gauge that question on is how much it took to run for my state senate seat. When I ran for my state senate seat, I think it was around $650,000 that we raised and spent on that race. So I can tell you, and you certainly know, that statewide races are more expensive than a state senate race. And so I would say, yeah, probably $1.5 million, maybe $2 million. Is what I would estimate this race would cost. I'm fully prepared to do everything that I need to do to raise the money in order to win the race. Will I put my own money into it? You know what? I would do whatever is necessary to win this race, Sam.
Back with State Senator Mark Hutchison right after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Play the hottest slots in video poker only at the Tamarack Junction.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Mark Hutchison. He's running for Lieutenant Governor. So let me ask you, Senator, what do you know about economic development?
Well, I know that we got to continue to promote the policies I think that the governor has put forward, and his agenda is one I think that we've seen aggressively pursue economic development. I want to be a strong partner with him in that economic development push and focus. For me personally, Sam, I now am, I think, into my 23rd year as a lawyer, and almost 20 years now having my own business, my own small business in the legal community. And I know, I understand what it takes to help small businesses grow. I've advised small businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses in terms of their legal efforts and their business development efforts. And so I think I've got a real feel for what small businesses, which is the backbone of our state and our economy, need for pro-growth environment. And I think that's what government does. Government presents a pro-growth, I hope, environment for our state businesses to thrive in. And so from a practical standpoint in my own small business, as well as for my own political philosophy and my own belief that Brian Sandoval is doing the job that needs to be done, I think I'm well situated for the opportunity to help in that area.
Now, as you know, Lieutenant Governor is a part-time position, and when you served in the state Senate, you continue to do your regular job as well as working full-time at the legislature. What are your plans moving forward if you were elected Lieutenant Governor? Would you try to make it a full-time position for yourself, or would you still continue to do double duty?
Oh, I think that first I will do whatever's necessary to make sure that the duties are discharged in a meaningful and an effective manner that's going to serve Nevadans in a way that they expect. And if they elect me, they can expect me to serve in to my best and my fullest capacity. Whether that takes my full time, at least people who are familiar with the position have said that sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And fortunately, I'm flexible enough with my partnership and my opportunities in my law firm to be able to, at times, do it in a full-time capacity. And other times, if it doesn't take that kind of capacity, then to practice law. But I will do everything I need to, Sam. As you said, I don't do anything halfway. I will fulfill the obligations and duties of that office to the fullest extent necessary.
Have you spent much time thinking about tourism? Because, as you say, that's part of the portfolio.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that tourism is, as you know, the absolute lifeblood of our economy. You know, we talk about diversifying the economy, but the reality is that our gaming and our tourism are the absolute lifeblood of our economy. And what I want to do is promote tourism and promote our opportunities for more visitors to come here. I would be willing to invest my time and my energy in anybody and any company or any country that would like to explore opportunities in Nevada. I would love to go on trade missions. I'd love to go on tourism missions. I think Brian Krolicki has done a great job with that, and I would continue in his tradition.
All right, and that's where we've got to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Good luck on your campaign. I think it's going to be a very spirited one. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Why are you still sitting on that couch? You know you could be out there cooking for a living. You speak food. That's why you got to call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll help get you out there with training in less time than you think. Sounds good, right? So grab your phone right now and call Le Cordon Bleu. They'll send you a complimentary career guide so you can see what it's really like to work in the culinary arts.
Call 800-817-5790 or text GOLCB68 to 94576. Call or text now.
Did you call yet?
Make Tuesday night pizza night for only $10. Get any Papa Murphy's large pizza every Tuesday, just $10. Solve the dinner time dilemma with Papa Murphy's. Love at 425 degrees.
Get the Charter Triple Play. Upgrade your home with TV, internet, and phone, all at an unbelievable price. Charter TV transforms every TV screen in your home with over 100 available HD channels in crystal clear picture and sound, and over 10,000 on-demand movies and shows available instantly. You can't get that with satellite. Call 855-303-PLAY to get Charter TV for $29.99 a month and get four DVRs for $19.99. Record up to 8 shows at once and have the ability to pause, play, and rewind live TV in every room. Upgrade to the nation's most powerful internet. At 30 megabits, it's 10 times faster than DSL, with the bandwidth to support more devices than any other internet provider. Experience it all for just $29.99 a month. Get Charter Phone with unlimited long-distance calling with none of the costly fees like the phone company charges you. Just $29.99 a month. Get the Charter Triple Play. All for $29.99 a month each when bundled. Call 855-303-PLAY now.
I'm Kathleen Sigurdson. I understand the challenges you face if you've suffered a personal injury. I've represented hundreds of victims over the last 10 years. If you've been injured, give me a call.
Watch Brandon Woolley, weeknights on News 4.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ty Cobb is here, former Special Assistant to President Reagan, and Larry Mathias, Executive Director of the Nevada State Medical Association. Pleasure to have you both here. So I'm visiting with some eye doctors who will actually be guests on the program here in a week or so. And they're talking about the Affordable Care Act, and they are just terrified of what's coming down the pike here.
And they have a right to be. There's still this long into it. We're more than 3 years into this whole process, and there are more questions than there are answers from those who are inventing the answers. So we're going to see.
Isn't that the way it always is, though, that you pass this a sweeping law, and then the law gets passed, and then it's the regulations that come along and how that's done on a national level and then on a state level, because we're going to have a board here appointed by the governor who's going to have absolute power over what gets paid and what doesn't get paid for.
The problem is that normally, even when you have a new law and it is sweeping and you don't know what it means, you do have regulations before you implement them. And to a considerable degree, with this law, many of the regulations have not yet been written. And that's what has doctors so concerned. And even if, when they are written, we have this huge, unsustainable Medicare program. I mean, Medicare will be the largest coverage program in the country, as it is now. That Obamacare doesn't replace that. That the private commercial coverage, what they're hoping for, is that that would create enough efficiencies that they'll be able to sustain Medicare and Medicaid. Over 1 million Nevadans in the next 2 years will be on either Medicare or Medicaid. Half the population will be on those two public programs, neither of which can be sustained the way they are right now.
And then add in the amount of people on under the VA.
The Veterans Administration, you've got retired public employees. The number of people that are under government programs has now exceed who have coverage, now exceeds those who have private commercial coverage. It has for several years. A majority of the costs for health care are paid for by the federal government. So they have a big stake in having the system reformed. Our problem is that the reforms that they've proposed so far, a new generation of managed care called accountable care organizations, new ways of structuring delivery in medical homes, none of those experiments have yet really shown that they can work and can work to reduce costs. So the doctors are going into this blind. Electronic health records are supposed to be the essence of the way we communicate and change the system. The electronic health records aren't where they're supposed to be. They don't exist yet, and yet a system is being built on a bunch of assumptions that don't yet have any reality in the world.
And Ty, what was interesting over the weekend, New York Times put out a piece that said that New York State, that the policies could actually drop by as much as 50% in terms of what people were paying for their medical coverage. Do you buy that?
No, I don't, but I would agree with Larry. There, this is, I think, the famous bill that needed to be passed before they read it, so I don't think any of the legislators, the people in Congress, understood the full magnitude of the bill. The intent was certainly laudable, to bring in a great segment of our population which could not afford medical care and jam up our emergency rooms to ensure that they have universal coverage. But as Larry said, we've expanded the opportunity so much that I don't know that the government can afford, number one, to pay for it, and number two, I don't know that there are enough physicians in the United States, particularly in Nevada, to be able to address all of the problems and to be able to fulfill the mandates of the ACA.
And in the new immigration legislation being proposed by the Senate, does it open up the door to us to bring in, because they did this in Britain in the 60s. They brought in
right.
nurses, they brought in people to ride the transportation, or not ride the to run the transportation system, bus drivers, conductors,
well,
etc.
What they're doing, the eligibility is going to be vastly expanded to include areas of the population not previously covered. But as Larry said, that means that there's going to be an enormous cost that the government, the taxpayers, are going to have to bear unless the promised efficiencies and reforms bring in reduced costs. And I would love to see that, but I'm suspect.
And we simply don't have the workforce to be able to deliver right now. And we get an awful lot of our physicians and nurses recruited from other countries. So I don't see any yeah. real rainbow here with a pot of gold at the end of it. I do see a lot of changes that are going to be made, and over the next generation, we'll have a different healthcare system coming out of this than we had going into it, and that'll be for better or worse.
All right, to be continued. I want to change the subject to one that Ty is an expert on here. New York Times comes out with a story, Pentagon lays out options for U.S. military effort in Syria. This just sounds like insanity.
There's been, the Pentagon has been reticent to step up and provide any kind of military involvement in Syria for a variety of reasons. I think intervention fatigue has set in after Iraq and Afghanistan and maybe even Kosovo. And the Pentagon is well aware that you just don't simply go in and establish a no-fly zone or take out the air defense systems or protect the chemical weapon supplies very easily. And what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is saying is that if we decide to intervene even mildly in Syria, it's probably going to cost about $1 billion a year.
And that's minimum, because
that's
the more you do, you're
going to have to move aircraft carriers in to support. Maybe you're going to have temporary bases. You're going to have a large support element there. You just don't go in and establish a no-fly zone or take out their anti-aircraft capability.
Do you think that the military-industrial complex is just going to continue to push for more and more expansion of American military power despite the situation we find ourselves financially as well as war fatigue?
I'm not sure I would use the term military-industrial complex, but I think those associated with the defense effort, whether they're active duty, civilians in the Pentagon, or the contractors, are very concerned that sequestration has, in their minds, unfairly targeted defense. It's bearing like 40% of the cuts right now, and consequently, the furloughs are being established for civilians throughout the forces, including here in Nevada. It's going to cripple operations.
You got about 15 seconds, Larry.
The deeper we get into wars in the Islamic states, the more likely it is that at some point unpredictable things happen. Russia gets involved. Iran goes haywire. Something that that creates something that we would not want, and that is a world war.
Let's go for energy self-sufficiency. That's the key.
Well, glad to leave that on a positive note. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
How much do you think individual health insurance costs?
Dr. Andrews?
What if it costs less than you think?
Yes.
How much do you think the average doctor or ER visit costs? At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we offer a variety of coverage options at surprisingly affordable rates. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or simply can't get health insurance at work, find out about affordable choices from Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans are designed to help fit your individual healthcare needs and budget.
Hi, Jack.
So whether you want basic coverage for yourself or more coverage for your family, call us at 1-800-818-0163. Or visit us online at buyanthemnow.com. Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Call Anthem today. 1-800-818-0163.
Destination Assist, this is Anne. Where would you like to go tonight?
It's a golden opportunity to see how Lexus effortlessly connects you to where you're going. Come to the Golden Opportunity Sales Event and experience the connectivity of Lexus N4, available on all Lexus models. Lease the all-wheel drive 2013 RX350 for $419 a month for 27 months, and we'll make your first month's payment. See your Lexus dealer.
Nevada State Bank is the door to your future. And if you want to buy a new home or refinance, there's never been a better time. Rates are at historic lows. And right now, Nevada State Bank is offering a variety of terms with no closing costs and no payments for the first 90 days, up to 100% of the home's value. And because we're local, our bankers will help you through every single step of the process, because that's what neighbors do. So bring your banking home to Nevada State Bank.
On our next broadcast, the University of Nevada President Mark Johnson will join us.